Good morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is where we're at. And this is, we're celebrating, we're remembering the Lord's Supper this morning. So I want to talk to you about it before we do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. I'll say now that we're doing this doing the Lord's Supper every quarter, it's the temptation is to, since we go to the same verses generally we have, is to just pull out the same sermon that we did last time, but I don't want to do that to you. Some of you may actually remember what the last sermon was. No, I'd rather get something fresh for you. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. We're going to read through verse 32. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Let's pray, and I'll say this about the Lord's Supper. This is an opportunity to go back to square one, so to speak. And it is a time to remember. It is a time to reset, to kind of reestablish your relationship with the Lord by remembering his body and remembering his blood. And it's a time of self-examination for someone who's saved. This is not for unsaved people. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, then you're not a member of this body that we're remembering. And so it's not for someone who is not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is for saved people, and it's not just for people who say they're Christians. It's for people who have trusted Jesus Christ and are members of the body of Christ, not necessarily members of this church, but just members of the body of Christ. And so in light of all that, let's pray, and I want to give you a few thoughts on the Lord's Supper before we remember the Lord's body here, but let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your words. Lord, thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this morning we'd have a time of reflection and examination, self-examination. Lord, a time that we can put our lives and our bodies and our decisions in perspective and in light of the body of Jesus Christ, the decisions of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would yield to the things we need to yield to that you've instructed us in. Father, I pray that we could, if things need to be made right, if there are some folks here that are, they're saved, but they are just kind of wandering in their relationship with you or really haven't really had a relationship with you, I pray that they could reestablish that today. Lord, they would acknowledge some things that have come between you and them. And Lord, that those things could be removed from this relationship. And Lord, we would all draw close to you, because truly that is the most important thing we have, is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray you'd help us this morning. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This, the Lord's Supper, it is, as he said, he said, take, eat, this is my body, and then the cup, this is my blood. It is truly a remembrance of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That body and blood was shed for you and me. That body went up into heaven. And one day that body is coming back down from heaven. All right, so that's what he said. He said, this, as often as you do this, you do in remembrance of me, you do show the Lord's death till he come, till that body that went up comes back down. All right, that said, I want to show you a couple things, and it's just kind of, I don't know, I guess the way I do things with the Bible, but try not to be too doctrinal, or not too doctrinal, that sounds bad, but too dry with you, but help you understand maybe a little bit more about your own relationship to God through Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ said, this is my body broken for you, he's talking about a substitutionary death. If a person, whoever in here has trusted Jesus Christ, God sees the body and the blood of Jesus Christ in place of your body and your blood. There is a substitute. So God looks at the blood of Jesus Christ and he said, that's acceptable. And he looked at the body of Jesus Christ and he said, that's acceptable. And on the basis of that, the way Jesus Christ came so he would destroy the works of the devil. So in the flesh, he never yielded to temptation. He subdued temptation. He subdued sin in that body. And then when he died, God said, I accept that body and I accept that blood. I don't accept anyone else's. And on the basis of someone trusting in Jesus Christ, I will apply that body and that blood to them. All right, so what we're doing this morning is remembering the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's not a magic. It's not this doesn't become the body and blood. It's not the transubstantiation. This isn't a mass. This isn't a Eucharist. This is the body and blood of Jesus Christ being remembered. We're remembering this. All right, let me give you a few thoughts here. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. All right, so Jesus Christ's body and blood, if you trust Jesus Christ, that body and blood becomes your body and blood in the eyes of God, okay? As many as we're baptized into his death, are baptized in resurrection, the whole thing, newness of life. All right, I'll show you some more verses here. The Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in that body. Okay? So the work that Jesus Christ did had to be done in a body of flesh and blood. God would produce an acceptable body of flesh and blood that would be acceptable in his sight, and on the basis of which he would allow sinners now to come to him, on the basis of Jesus Christ's body and blood. I know I keep saying body and blood, but that's what we're remembering here. The Bible says this, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. See the substitute? That's the substitutionary death there. All right, then this is going, I want to establish something with you and then show you a couple of practical things, because the end of this is this. I'll just tell you where I'm headed so you can be thinking that way. Jesus Christ is the substitute for you and me. God accepts Jesus Christ. God does not accept you and me. However, he accepts sinners on the basis of Jesus Christ. Then he says, all right, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are put into the body of Christ. You're members of his body, of his flesh and of his bone. Okay, now you're members of that body. However, you still live in an old body. So this time that we have here is a time of this. It's a time of examining these bodies in light of that body. Here's God has put new life into me now. I trust Jesus Christ, the newness of life. I'm born again. He's put new life in an old body. Now I'm trying to live out new life in an old body. And the only way I can do that is constantly compare this new life inside this body with that body. What did that body do? Do you understand? There's a substitute here, and the basis of God accepting me is on the basis of Jesus Christ's blood and body. However, there's a practical side to it too now. I got to live out this new life in this body, this old body. All right, here's another couple thoughts here. So the mystery, Paul said, one of the things that was revealed to him was the mystery of the body of Christ. And the mystery of the body of Christ is as much about substituting Christ's body and blood for a sinner's in the sight of God as it is about anything else. The mystery of the body of Christ. Paul would say this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. All right, so there's a substitution made. This body, as far as God is concerned, he doesn't accept this body. Crucified with Christ, the body of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ has now replaced me, my body and blood. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me show you a couple of things. I don't want to go to too many verses here, but I do want to show you some things. All right, look over in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. All right, Ephesians 1:3 says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You understand? God sees Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is acceptable to God. And anyone who will accept Jesus Christ will also be acceptable to God on the basis of Jesus Christ. However, anyone who does not accept Jesus Christ is still not acceptable to God. All right, so all the blessings that God has are put into Jesus Christ. Okay? And then he said that body is now at the right hand of God in heavenly places, spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He says over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, he says this, or 5. Well, 22, 23, 24, verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. All right, that is your new identity in Jesus Christ. I'll give you a couple more here real quick. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says this. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. All right, let me recap a little bit for this whole thing. When Jesus Christ died, the night before he died, he broke bread and he poured the cup there. And he said, "The bread, this is my body, it's broken for you. Replacement. I am creating a replacement for you now. This blood is creating, it's a replacement for you now before God." And that body that is broken, that was beat up, was hung on a cross, was put into a grave, then God said, "That is acceptable to me." And on the basis of that holiness, he rose that body out of the ground. And so that body comes up, and Jesus Christ comes up, and he shows the disciples, and he says, "You know, touch my hands. You can see the scar in my side," showing you this is the same body. This isn't a new thing. I have created now. I have created the pattern. I have made what's acceptable, what was never acceptable in God's sight, I've now made it acceptable for you. Then that same Jesus Christ, 40 days later, 50 days later, whatever it is, 40 days later, ascends up into heaven bodily. That's the same body. So that body is now in heaven at the right hand of God, and God said all the blessings are still in that body. If you want my blessing, it's in that body. You get in that body, you trust Jesus Christ, and all my blessings are in there. That's where you find them. And so he says in 1 Corinthians, as oft as you do this, you show the Lord's death till he comes. The same Jesus Christ that went up in that scarred body is one day coming down in that scarred body. The same body. All right, so you show the Lord's death till he come. That is all of that. There is so much that ties with the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. And there's so many verses. I'm trying to narrow this down. It was a little bit tough here. All right, so this is what he says based on all that. I want you to see this verse. Look in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Verse you guys have looked at multiple times, but maybe in this light, it'll help you out a little more. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. The Bible says in Philippians 3:20, "For our conversation is where?" It's in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. "From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Why? Because that's where the body is. "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." The thing you're looking forward to, the thing I'm looking forward to, is have this body changed to be like Jesus Christ's body. A body that beat sin and subdued all the work of the devil in his flesh. And he created a pattern, and he said, "Now one day I'm going to come back and I'm going to fashion your body like that body." And that's what we're looking for. I know the young kids, y'all aren't there yet. Some of the older folks, some of us are like, you know, we'll take this body anytime here. We're looking forward to our bodies being changed. You know, your biggest struggle, my biggest struggle, is not with everybody else around here. Your biggest struggle and my biggest struggle is right here in this flesh. I keep fighting me here. Well, I say me, this body, this old man. And so I look forward to the day when he shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. All right, Hopefully you understand the substitutionary nature of what Jesus Christ did. Now we'll get to the practical side of that. Not very long here. I wanted to set that foundation for you. You go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll show you a couple things real quick. He said, I'll give you one more verse. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All right? Good verse for all the substitutionary body there. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, now verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning what? The Lord's body. You didn't discern the body there. And I didn't discern the body. We didn't examine ourselves in light of what was acceptable to God. God said, this is the thing that's acceptable to me. All the blessings, all of my blessings are poured into that body. This is what's acceptable. Now, though, I'm saved. I am a new creature in Christ living in an old body. The application for this substitution is, I need to examine what my life in light of the acceptable body that's acceptable to God. And so anywhere this life doesn't comply with the life of Jesus Christ or the body and blood of Jesus Christ, I'm out of bounds and I'm bringing condemnation. Why? Because God's blessings are in that body. They're not outside of that body. So whenever this body wants to, and whenever I make the decisions or do things that are outside of what the body of Jesus Christ would do, I bring myself under condemnation because I'm outside of the blessing of God now. I hope that makes sense. Here's the pattern that's acceptable to God, and anywhere I don't fit in that pattern, I have a pattern to examine my life against now. There's a pattern here, and I can say, okay, well, I'm outside the lines here. I'm outside the lines here. You understand? You got something to work with. You'll see over and over in the Bible, Jesus Christ, God will say, Paul will say, he'll say, for instance, husbands, love your wives, how? Even as Christ loved the church. You understand? There's a pattern. So now everything is matched against that pattern. Forgive one another even as Christ also forgave you. You understand? Even as Christ did this, here's the pattern. Here's where you need to match the pattern. Not for your salvation, but for your self-examination. As far as God's concerned, your standing is in Christ, but the application of that life, you still got to make some decisions. And Jesus Christ has provided the pattern that you examine yourself in light of. All right, so if someone is unworthy, if you're unworthy, so to speak, is what he said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, you see? He went outside the pattern. Here's what God accepts. Outside of that, it's unacceptable to God. Not discerning the Lord's body. So unworthily means, guilt and condemnation when you fail to realize your body is no longer your own body. You understand? He said, you're bought with a price. You're no longer your own. If you accept God's payment on your behalf, then that means you accept that God has bought you. If I say, yes, I accept God's redemption, I want to be saved, Lord, redeem me from sin, purchased me, all that. All right, so if I accept God's payment, then I also accept that I've been bought now with a price. And I am no longer my own, and so the body I live in needs to match up with, or I need to make it match up with, the body of Jesus Christ. I mean, I know this old flesh is not going to, it's never going to yield to the Spirit of God. That's why I've got to make it yield to the Spirit of God. I've got to force it to do what God said, because it's never going to want to. However, if I don't discern the Lord's body, I don't accept that I've been bought with a price anymore. Yeah, Lord, save me, but, you know, purchase me from sin, redeem my soul, but I'm going to keep living my life. He said, you haven't discerned the Lord's body. The thing that's acceptable to God is this. The thing I'm going to buy you with is this. And if you accept that payment, then you accept that you've been bought now. And not that you've been bought because God's a dictator and he wants to put his thumb on you and ruin your life. You've been redeemed out of sin. You don't have to live in sin anymore. You are free from that bondage. No matter how loud the body yells and says, we got to do this. I need this now. I need this now. Give me, give me, give me. Now you have the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, no, we don't have to do that. We don't have to make that decision. I don't have to go there. But sin, boy, it's loud and it's strong and it makes an impact and it makes noise and it will make you believe we have to do this or else we're going to die. And the truth is, you're going to die anyway. The body is dead. The newness of life means I don't have to live according to the decisions of the flesh anymore. I don't have to listen to the body anymore. The body is the thing that was condemned. It's the thing God had to replace. Unworthy, guilt and condemnation associated when you fail to realize your body is no longer your own. You are a member. What did he say? You are a member, members of his flesh and of his bone. That's your new body. That's where you're headed. If you're saved, that's where you're headed. The unexamined life, a life that is unworthy before God, is a life that's unexamined in light of the body of Christ. Unexamined. Undisciplined in light of the body of Christ. Unyielded to the Spirit of God in light of the body of Christ. I'm going to give you a couple verses. Look in Romans chapter 8. They're both in Romans 8. Romans 8:1. The Bible says this in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see that? Now this old man, this old body, is no longer making demands on the Christian. And he said, if you'll walk according to the Spirit and start ignoring the old man, there's no condemnation in that life. The law of the Spirit is life and love, and there's no condemnation in that thing. Look down in verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. I don't owe the flesh anything, even though he says I owe him something. Even though he comes, pay up, I don't owe him anything. He hasn't done anything for me, but the Spirit of God, you know, he's done something for me. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. All right, there is the condemnation of the Christian. If you live outside of the pattern that's been established, you live outside of the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, there's condemnation in that life. If a Christian decides they want to fornicate, there's just condemnation in that life. I mean, you just live like the world and you reap the benefits of the world. However, if you want to do things according to the Spirit of God, there's no condemnation in that life. Let me give you a thought here. Just a couple more things here. We'll wrap it up and have the Lord's Supper. You know, he said over in 1 Corinthians, he said this. He said, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. If you are proud of the things that you can do and get away with in the sight of God. So, you know, some may think, I get away with sin. And they use that to say, this is my liberty in Christ. I can do what I want to. Therefore, I am going to do everything I want to. I mean, the truth is you can do what you want to. And the truth is you are going to do what you want to. But I would be very careful if you're bragging or in your own self puffed up with the stuff that you get away with. In light of God's word, if there's no chastening going on, it doesn't mean God's being graceful with you. It means God doesn't care what you're doing. He doesn't care about, that means you're not a child of God is what I'm saying. If there's no chastening, that means God doesn't care about your life. Now, you say, okay, well, God's all loving and all that stuff. God loves Jesus Christ. God loves people who are in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he made a way for sinners to be redeemed and saved. But God chastens his children. And if you are getting away with sin and saying, yeah, I can just get away with what I want to get away with. You know, God's so graceful. It's just, you know, it's just, if in your heart you're puffed up with the stuff you get away with, you know the sin that you're performing, you're participating in. You know the sin you participate in. And if in your heart you say, well, you know, God's grace can cover it. God's grace can cover it. If there's no chastening, and I think most of you here are saved, but I don't want to assume. But if there's no chastening, it doesn't mean God's grace is on your life. It means God doesn't care what you're doing with your life. Do you understand? It means God is not involved, because if you're a child of God, he will chasten. He will address the sin. If there's no addressing of that sin, you're not his child. You just live your life sinning, and one day the Bible says the wicked know not at what they stumble. One day the judgment of God comes, and just all everybody's confused and nobody knows what's going on. I wouldn't be too puffed up about getting away with sin. I mean, I'm preaching to myself right now. I wouldn't be too puffed up about getting away with sin. Because if there's no chastisement in that thing, it doesn't mean God's being merciful. It means God doesn't care. You understand? So, in light of that, examine your own lives. He says, and see if you're in the body. Am I in the body? Have I trusted Jesus Christ? Is there an active communication between the Lord and I about areas of my life that fall outside of that pattern Jesus Christ created? And if there's no active communication from God Almighty about areas of your life, or if God's trying to communicate something to you and you keep, you know, hey, I'm not interested. That's that dumb preacher. I can't believe he says that stuff. You know, sometimes that's God trying to get in there and make some headway and make that life more a pattern of Jesus Christ. So the consequences are this, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30. He says this, in light of an unexamined life, he says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So you know what he does is this. The body that you won't examine, God begins to examine. And then he begins to chasten and to weaken and to put some, how does he say it? Many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. Why? Because you weren't willing to examine your own body. So now God begins to pursue and to afflict and to affect that body. That doesn't mean you're in gross sin or horrible sin, or maybe it does mean that. I don't know. But I know there is a level of chastening for every child of God. No, none of us have it all figured out. None of us are living exactly how we're supposed to. We all got flaws and issues, or issues. All got stuff that needs to be worked out. And so the consequences, though, of the unexamined body and blood of you is that God begins to work on it. If you're not willing to examine it, he'll examine it. And he'll start putting the screws to it. I always think this, maybe it's I don't know. My first thoughts in general lately, when I start having pains and things like that, I know I used to say, well, God doesn't do that. Well, how else is God going to get to you? What's he going to do? Tear up your grass? What's he going to do? He's going to hurt your body because you won't examine your body. So I think, okay, Lord, you knock me down, or you allow me to be knocked down. What is this for? And you know, if you've been ever chastened by mom or dad, I think this is the way this goes. You know what you're being chastened for. It's not a surprise. It's not a secret. In fact, there's probably multiple things you could be chastened for. You just happened to get caught with this one. And so it's not like necessarily, okay, Lord, where are we going with this, or what's going on? I think most of us would just know. You know, I know there's an area of our life between the Lord and me that needs work, and now, Lord, you have knocked me down, and now I'm going to have to work on that area. Now I need to bring that area in line with you. Or it's like Paul. You know, Paul here, he's given all this revelation, and he says, lest I become puffed up, I've given a thorn in the flesh. You understand? He dealt with his body to keep him at a weak state, to keep him down, to keep him from going outside of the pattern, outside of the parameters of the pattern that was set by Jesus Christ. So God gives him a thorn in the flesh, not because he's a wicked, horrible sinner, but because he's been given a lot of opportunity and a lot of revelation, and that stuff just went to his head because he's a human being. And so God said, I'll give you a thorn in the flesh, messenger of Satan. I'll let him come knock at your door. He's going to be there. Paul says, I asked the Lord three times to take it away, and he said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. In fact, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So when you're weak, then you're strong. You need to be weak, that way you'll be strong. So the consequences here, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. You know, when you don't accept that your body is now been bought with a price, God sees and substitutes Jesus Christ's blood and body for yours. And now you examine your own life in light of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. If you're unwilling to do that, then God will start to do it for you. So here's the, I don't know, admonition, instruction, help this morning. Here's the idea. When we do what we're about to do in remembering the body and blood of Jesus Christ, it is an opportunity to reset your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, examine your life, and start to address things that need to be addressed. And I know you're not going to do it in 30 minutes here. This is going to be an ongoing decision, and it's not a once and for all decision. It's a daily decision. He says, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. I wish he would have said, sufficient to the year is the evil thereof. No, it's every day. You wake up, you got to make the right decisions. You got to yield the body to the Spirit of God. And this is an opportunity to really reset that relationship. So he says, when he had given thanks, he broke it, said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That's what we're doing, is remembering the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We're not, this doesn't become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. This doesn't transform into anything. It's a reminder. It's a remembrance. It's a memorial. It's a way to remember and reestablish things that need to be reestablished there.